So, Lord, I'm handing the butterflies to you. Please take them, every one of them. And as I go along, take the rest. And Holy Spirit, please invade every bit of me and let everything I speak be of you, to your glory, not mine. Amen. Good morning, ladies. Well, all the ladies who went to the quiet day yesterday, can you go home? Because I hear you had some 23. And the men can stay. Right. I was asked to do this talk, and I thought, oh, easy peasy. But as the days got closer, I got more panicky, and I wasn't sure. And I thought, perhaps I should go into the internet and see if I can get some things. And it was grown-up stuff, serious grown-up stuff. So, well, I sort of magpied a few bits, and some of it was my own experience and the Bible, and the girls helped me to put it together. Thank you, girls. Psalm 23. I have got a list. I don't do PowerPoints. I don't understand it, so I just talk. I borrowed this from the internet because I agreed with it. I'm sure we'll all agree Psalm 23 is one of the best-known psalms in the Bible. It is a prayer of confidence, comfort, and reassurance. And it brings calm in the midst of trouble. Actually, I'm feeling a little bit calmer now as I'm thinking about it. And it's a psalm that so vividly expressed David's total confidence in God. And that takes me back to when I was a child. My mother was Presbyterian, and I grew up on memory verses and things. Actually, I thought she was a real meanie, but it's really helped me now. And I remember I used to be such a scaredy cat. You know, when I was going to I needed someone to be by the door. And I used to be so frightened all the time. So come age 6, Mama sat me down and taught me the Psalm 23. And actually, it's been a bit of a tradition in my home. All the girls by age 6 know Psalm 23 off by heart. And I must have recited it, well, at least twice every hour of my life. When the teacher, when we're going to do dictation or mental arithmetics, when I left my book, when my ink pot spilled over and I was a little bit of a sheep and I had a shepherd. And as I grew older, I actually used to sleep with the Psalm 23 opened under my pillow. Well, my very evangelical relative told me one day, that passage under your pillow is not going to save you, you know. You have to live it. Well, anyway, to cut a long story short, I grew on Psalm 23. I just put this together and went to sort of break it down a bit, verse by verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David, I believe, saw God as his shepherd and himself as sheep. And not just any shepherd, but a powerful shepherd. And I suppose David used that because he himself was a shepherd as a lad. Remember the story with him looking after the sheep and Goliath and all that? This is a young boy who was able to protect his sheep. So how much more God? So because of his inside knowledge of the way the shepherds lived with their sheep, he put God as the ultimate shepherd. This is because he knew he was safe with him. He was proclaiming to himself, to wherever he was, who God was. God was his owner, his manager. I mean, what confidence? Do we have the same confidence in God? Is he our shepherd? We can also choose to have him as our shepherd and placing ourselves in his care. In the New Testament, John, isn't it? God, I can't see. John 10, 11 and 14 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And 14 says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Isn't that wonderful? With however many sheep the shepherd had, he knew each of them. And then he goes on to say, I shall not want. NIV says, I lack nothing. How many of us can confidently say we lack nothing or have everything we need? I'm not sure I could confidently say that. But when I go back to Psalm 23, I understand it. I understand that I lack nothing. David speaks of God supplying all his needs because a good shepherd looks after their flock. They keep them out of harm's way. They rescue them when they fall. When they stray, like I do often, he finds them. And the sheep thrive, and they're happy, they're at peace. We can also trust God to take care of us, committing our every need, every care unto him. Because he is able. In Philippians 4, it says, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by the Lord Jesus Christ. What a promise. And this takes me back to a hymn, which is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And it says, oh, what peace we often forfeit, because we forget and we see this shepherd, our God, like we see our earthly fathers and relatives. And we forget that when he says he will do something, he will do it. He says he will care for us. We shall not want, because what we need, he provides. God can't lie. It's not in his nature to lie. So whatever he says is. And don't forget that for God, the deepest satisfaction, his biggest joy is to see us, his children flourishing, to see us at peace, to see us happy. And not just happy being, you know, after a glass of wine and chatting. It's the joy of his salvation, knowing that we're okay. It breaks his heart when we suffer. It breaks his heart when he's got food for us, when he's got everything for us, and we don't claim it, and we suffer for unnecessary reasons. Remember, he will provide all our needs. We shall not want. Like David, if we humble ourselves and surrender to our Father God, he will shepherd us. The thing is, we live in a culture which is it's really totally uncool to depend on anyone, even God. I have had Christians say to me, God provides for those who help themselves. Yeah, in my weakness, in your weakness is my strength. Our world tells us to stand on our own two feet, to do it ourselves. So much so that when you call, sometimes you offer things to friends, they think, oh yeah, nah. Perhaps if we started trusting God and, well, not quite abdicating. I like to abdicate our responsibility and just say, yeah, do it, God. But let's all try and depend on him. It's nice. It's cool. And we can rest. As I'm resting, as I speak. When I got here, my heart was thumping. I'm sure you could hear it there. But as I was singing, I thought, I'm resting in you, Lord. I'm trusting you. Your words, not mine. It works. Living under God's lordship makes him our shepherd. We can recite it however many times we want, but if we don't live under his lordship, he's not our shepherd. We look after ourselves. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. It is pretty tricky to get sheep to get to sleep or lay down and rest. A bit like us, really. Isn't it? There's a struggle for status in our society. To keep up with the Joneses, there's a struggle for self-assertion and self-recognition. Most of us fight to be the top sheep. We butt and we quarrel and we compete to get ahead, and it's impossible to relax in this kind of environment. And we want good schools for our children, and what are we going to eat, and we got to go and buy a new computer, da-da-da-da-da. And there's no peace, so we don't rest. We don't rest so that we can enjoy the green pastures that our fathers led us to. But things change when our shepherd is around, when we recognize that our shepherd is around. The Lord's presence puts an end to rivalry and all the strife in our lives. And going back to sheep, I read somewhere on the internet, and I had to put it here, it sounds very grown up, it says, sheep have four requirements to be able to lie down. First one is the absence of fear. We can rest when we're afraid. I don't sleep when I'm scared that I've got the worst diseases on earth. And I lie there and I panic, oh dear God, I pray 1 minute and I'm afraid. I don't sleep, and that's because I'm afraid. And he says we shouldn't be afraid. Do not be afraid, I'm with you always. No tension between members of flock. Strife, tension. We're brothers and sisters, let's get on. Let's get along. Let's celebrate each other's differences. When we do, we have peace. And we can smile and we can look into each other's faces and hug them when we say this peace. You know, we don't do it much these days, do we, Chris? We should start again. And we see each other and we say, peace of the Lord be with you. And we smile, we do it. And then when we meet them in the supermarket, we make eye contact and still say hello. Not just in church, but when we step out of church. Three, no aggravation from parasites. I'm not going to go into that one. And not to be hungry. Pretty much the same for all of us. And our fear affects each other. Sheep are very easily frightened. And when one sheep is afraid, everybody runs. So it goes back in trust in our Father. But the thing is, nothing on earth quietens sheep like the presence of their shepherd. We have our shepherd all the time. He's present all the time. How come we get so frightened and not enjoying the green pastures and drink from the still waters? If we recognize our God and King, who is also our shepherd, is ever present. In fact, so present, so close, we will have that peace. Our God and shepherd will only give us the best green pastures, the best in life, the best pastures to graze. In the Middle East, it's very difficult to find fresh grass like we have. You know, when you're driving on the A21, it's so beautiful to see the sheep grazing. It wasn't like that then. But he walked miles and found them green pastures. Sorry, I was, you know, sort of doodling on this when I was coming. Every time I remembered something, I called Lizzie, come and put it on the paper for me. So, you know, that printed things and written and scribbled things, so bear with me. Yes, he leads her to the green pastures. He is ever present. He is always with us. And he leads us, as we graze on the green pastures, he leads us to the still waters. He leads us to the still waters where we can drink. We can drink from the waters. Excuse me, I'm looking for the sheet at four. Yeah, okay. We need a good shepherd who leads us. He doesn't drive us. And he takes us to waters where we can drink. Not fast-flowing waters. Because when it's chaotic, we can't. The sheep cannot drink when the water is going too fast. They need quiet waters. They need wells. and still the still waters. And he does that. Sorry. No, give me a moment. Think about the still waters whilst I look for my sheet, please. Yeah. Our loving shepherd watches over us and is deeply concerned about everything concerning us. And he leads us to slow flowing streams. That's when we can drink. In the same way, our Lord knows exactly what we need. And he's the one who brings us nourishment and rest for our souls. Many times we struggle to resolve problems which are beyond us. He knows when to give us rest from trying to figure out everything ourselves. And when we're struggling, he brings us to rest. He brings us to the still waters. John 7 verse 37 says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." Have you tried drinking water when you're sort of nervous or you're all over the place busy? You spill the water. You don't quench your thirst. You quench the thirst when you're more rested and relaxed. I'm learning that. He restores my soul. He does. Trust me, he does. I'm a living testimony of that. Many times shepherds search for hours and hours for stray sheep like me, you know. And usually they won't find them in a ditch, caught in between some thorns or sort of lying on their back, you know, unwell. And what does he do? I read somewhere that the shepherds would turn the sheep over and rub oil. I don't know whether it's olive oil or something. Rub something into their legs, massage them till the circulation comes back, and then stands them up. They struggle a bit, but after a while, they're stable on their feet. And they walk again. That's what God does for us. And I think probably David had that in mind when he said, "He restores my soul." That is how the Lord treats us. We stumble, we fall, time and time and time again. And he picks us up. He is so compassionate. He picks us up and puts us back on our feet. We see how the Lord is so tender towards sinners. I see how he was tender towards me. He picked me up from the deepest there and stood me on my feet like you do to a sheep. When I asked him to come into my life and be my shepherd, he said, "Yes, dear, do I love you? Yes, I will be your shepherd. And I'm not looking back. And I'll never look back." He showed tenderness to the woman by the well. He showed tenderness to the woman with the issue of blood. And see how he restored Peter when Peter betrayed him. That is our Lord. He restores our souls. He restores us. And he leads us in the paths of righteousness. Sheep, again, like me, are notorious for wandering off on their own little journeys and getting into all kinds of trouble, like being caught in thorn bushes. We humans are the same. We prefer to follow our desires and do what we want. Sorry. Give me a moment, please. We go off. We do what we want. But then we need a shepherd who leads us in the path of righteousness. Notice our shepherd doesn't drive us. Not like the world, not like our jobs, our families, our relationships, our habits. Doesn't drive us. He leads us. He goes ahead of us. So if there are dangerous things on the way, he gets them out of the way. He leads us. There's a bit of a scripture I saw, and I don't know where I put it, but it's somewhere here. It's 1 Peter 2:21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, as a shepherd was leading us, leave you an example that you should follow in his step. He leads us. So we follow him. We mimic him. We imitate him. Is that the right word? Yeah, imitate him. Our Lord always leads us in the path of righteousness. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. He went ahead of us. He led us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Yet sometimes we're fearful, but when we look deep inside, when we call on our shepherd, we stop being afraid. In this verse, David is speaking directly to God, was addressing God. Excuse me. He recognizes God's constant presence with him. Like us, sheep go through various scary valleys full of hidden animals who are waiting to prey on them. Because don't forget, to get to the green pastures, to the still waters, you have to go on a journey. I don't know if anybody's read Hind Feet on High Places. The rocks and mountains and valleys, and they go through all of this. But their shepherd is with them. So do we. Some of all of us, almost everyone here, go through various valleys in our lives. Some have many valleys, some have few. Some have deep, deep valleys. Some have not so deep valleys. But we go through them. And notice, it didn't say we stay there, we don't remain there for the wild animals to devour us, for Satan to devour us, for sickness to take us, for grief to overwhelm us completely, to cripple us. We go through it. We don't remain there. And we have a shepherd who goes through it with us. The thing is, it doesn't mean the absence of fear. Trust me. Because I can stand here and see all these wonderful things, how wonderful God is. But I do get a little bit frightened from time to time. In fact, all the time. But I know without a doubt, that my shepherd is going through it with me. But then there's another valley every one of us will have to go through. It's the actual valley of the shadow of death. We can't walk it with our husbands or our wives or our children or friends or family. We will walk it alone if we don't walk it with Jesus. Let's think about it. And we can only walk through it with Jesus if we're close to Jesus in our lives. We will walk through it. Like the bear hunt story, you can't go over it. You can't go under it. You've got to go through it. And we can. The best way of going through it is hand in hand with our Lord Jesus. So if we want to do that, perhaps we should start making him our shepherd. And he's the best shepherd we could ever have. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When a shepherd is out in the field, he has a couple of the only things that he has are his staff and his rod. The rod is a club. It's sort of a club which he uses to defend himself and his sheep. He uses it to drive away wolves and other wild animals, and it's also used to discipline the sheep, not to whack them. He doesn't do that. And the staff is a long, thin stick with a hook in the end. He uses it to guide the sheep along the paths. He doesn't beat them. He doesn't beat the sheep. He just nudges them gently, and he pulls them back when they get to the brink. For all of us who live under the lordship and the authority and the power and guidance and love of the Lord Jesus Christ, are indeed, we find it indeed comforting pulling us back into line is a comforting thought. Hebrews 12, verse 5. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord rebukes the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. I borrowed this one, but I liked it. Here David pictures God as a gracious host who provides all that he needs, even in times of apparent difficulty. David is saying that the provision and grace of God gives him such confidence that in a time when he should be fearful and anxious, like while in the very presence of his enemies, he is still able to sit, relax, and eat. I'm not sure about the relaxing bit, but I have sat and I have eaten and I have smiled and I've encouraged when it's been tough. Perhaps I'll learn the relaxing now. God was the one providing for him, not man. God was the one anointing his head with oil, which was what gracious hosts do when their guests arrive. So next time you come, ask for the oil and I shall anoint you. So he knew that he would have more than enough. Many of us have been through very difficult times and have kept going. We have kept going because he lays the table before us in the presence of our enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives and will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever is a long time, but this infinitely creative God will never fail to amaze us. So for now, let us follow our Lord where he would lead. Let us stick close to him and thank him for his wonderful grace. He's not just a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd, the ultimate shepherd. He's utterly trustworthy, and when the days of this life are over, then we will enter into which we can only partly imagine. The thing is, we can only confidently say that Lord, that goodness and mercy shall follow us if we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. It comes together. I read in one of my many daily devotionals, and I can't remember which one it is. I read in one of them which said, there was a Sunday school, and they asked all the children to memorize Psalm 23. And the following week, they were asked to recite the psalm. And one little girl just said, me, and was asked to recite it. And the child stood up and said, very confidently, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. That's all I want. Is that what you want? Perhaps we can take a moment today, sometime, and commit our lives into his care and trust him as our good shepherd. And I pray that if there's anyone here who hasn't gotten to know this wonderful shepherd, perhaps you'd ask him to be your shepherd. I've asked him to be my shepherd. And it's the best decision I ever took. Thank you. Amen.